What's going on, y'all? Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to apologize for the sound quality in this episode. There are portions where the right side of the ear was not picking up and some, you know, usual Skype messiness. You know, I hear Black Kids, we pride ourselves on having good quality sound. And the episode is really good. We think you will dig it. So once again, my apologies. Hope you enjoy.
You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. Alright, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host Chris
and Jonathan, coming in via Skype.
Oh yeah, you know we got to do that thing. We're doing something a little different this time. You know, basketball season is basically upon us.
Yes, sir. So, Spirit, we know you're going to enjoy this episode because it is pure basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball. So, you know, we're gonna be previewing the upcoming NBA season. We're going to, you know, do them in halves. This episode is going to be about the Eastern Conference.
Or yes, sir.
I like to call it the Leastern Conference.
Oh, shots fired. We talking about my squads.
You know, we're going to get through all them teams. But, you know, just as usual, if y'all want to hit us up, y'all want to talk any sports, any of that, all of that, how you feeling, you can reach us via Twitter, at Brothers Layman. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always reach us at our website, blackisonline.com.
Yeah, hit us up. Let us know anything y'all want to know. Questions, comments, concerns, you know, interests, any critiques, fantasy questions, anything that wraps around your mind, hit us up. We will definitely get back at you. Holla!
That's what's up. All right, so we're gonna go by the way things ended as far as the regular season goes with the NBA standing. So, you know, starting up first, the Atlanta Hawks.
All right, ATL, what's happening? My second home.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
The year before that, you know, they were basically like an eighth seed. All of a sudden, they turned into a 60-win team.
Yep. Everybody thought, I don't think anybody projected them to even make the playoffs.
No. 60 games, they'd be like, please.
Yeah.
Can they win 45?
Can they win 40? Can they win 30 games? Shoot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they went on a tear. Mike Budenholzer got them guys rolling. Al Horford was able to stay healthy, relatively healthy for most of the season. DeMar Carroll just exploded onto the scene. And, I mean, they played that good old-fashioned, boring team ball.
But
and
it worked. Yeah, didn't they have,
and
I think,
it worked.
What, the month of January? I think when they went, like, undefeated or something. I think it was January or February.
Yep.
And they had, like,
I think it was January.
Yeah, and the whole starting five made the, like, player of the month. You know, but they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, they got there, but unfortunately they couldn't finish it off.
No.
You know, they were close. They were close. They showed fight and they showed heart and toughness, but you know, when you lose your defender and DeMar Carroll, you know, Al Horford got nicked up. Once those things started happening, you know, Kyle Korver, his shot wasn't really falling like that anymore. You know, it was tough for Atlanta, and you basically just knew, you know, LeBron freaking was carrying his team. I mean, it, J.R. Smith hit some big shots. Mm-hmm. Got to say he did. He hit some big shots. But all in all, kudos to Atlanta for a hell of a season last year. They did a great job, you know. And unfortunately, the whole Tavo Sefolosha situation happened. So that was a little bit of a distraction floating over the team as well. They were missing arguably their best perimeter defender, next to DeMar Carroll. So we don't know how certain things would have turned out if Sefolosha was healthy enough to play. So unfortunately, that was an unfortunate event that happened. But nonetheless, they fought. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals and came very close to getting to the finals. So kudos to them.
Yeah, they were hot all season, and then it seemed like, what, a week or 2 weeks before the end of the season, Paul Millsap had a major injury, and then it just snowballed from there. You know, yeah. But going into the season, you know, they kept Paul Millsap, got him a nice fat contract.
Yes, sir.
Actually added Tiago Splitter via trade and Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yep.
You know, biggest loss, though, Damari Carroll. Toronto, I don't know how that's going to, you know, affect them. So going into the season, are you expecting, can they hit 60 wins again? Or you think that was just kind of like, you know, a perfect storm? What you think of the Atlanta Hawks going into this season?
I kind of am leaning on the side of it was kind of a perfect storm for them. I just think everything was clicking at the right time for that team. You know, they kind of took the league by storm a little bit. Guys didn't really realize, you know, Kent Bazemore and some of these other guys, who my boy, the German point guard, Schneider.
Dennis Schroeder.
You know, his quick little self. They were just taking the league by storm a little bit, and they proved to be a tough-minded physical team. I think losing DeMar Carroll is going to take some of that physicalness, you know, that physicality away from them. And it does, in a sense, leave a little bit of a hole at the three position for them that they need to fill in some capacity. I don't see them hitting 60 wins again. 50 to 55, maybe, I think is more realistic for them. But I think they're still all in all be a really good team. I mean, adding Tiago Splitter was big. Al Horford, I've always said, does not need to play the center position. He doesn't have to anymore. So that really, I think, is going to help elevate his game a little bit more. I think he's primed for another all-star caliber season. But I think they'll probably end up finishing around third in the conference, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, they still going to be solid. I do see them winning about 50 games. I don't see them dropping off the face, you know, but with DeMar Carroll's a big loss, to me, they most consistent guy during the playoffs. I know some places have, you know, Sefolosha may start at the three now. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what Jeff Teague going to do. You know, he's continued to ask to do more. He's played well as well. So
he's got to bring it in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, he's going to have to, definitely. The team is not bad. I like Schroeder and Hardaway off the bench and Splitter. Kent Bazemore showed something. So, they got a solid team. You know, out of Eastern Conference Finals again, I don't think so. You know, but they're going to have to make some moves. Hey, Al Horford going into his last year of the contract, too. That's going to be big. But Atlanta, you know, y'all supported them, really came through. Please continue that. Don't go back to the old way of not, you know, having an empty Phillips Arena.
Exactly.
I mean, shit, them 35-6 at home, second best home record, so... Yeah, but I still like Atlanta's gonna be good to watch though. I think they'll still take care of business.
Exactly, they're gonna be good.
On to the next number two, them Cleveland Cavaliers.
If you want to crown, then crown their ass.
You know that's how it's gonna be.
Exactly.
Let's crown them already. They winning the championship.
Oh man.
I mean, hey, they were close, you know. LeBron James back home looked great. The move with Kevin Love looked awesome. You know, got to the finals for what? That was his fifth straight time?
Yeah.
And put on one of the greatest finals performances ever.
Ever.
You know, he didn't have any help. He was like, fuck, I'm going to just do it all myself then.
And just damn near nuts. Carried him to a chip, yep.
He did. You know, he just never got the help he needed. But, you know, they stacked again, of course. Kevin Love got the huge money.
Yes, he did.
Kyrie Irving is back, although we don't know when he'll be back.
Yep.
Maybe January.
Shumpert got the big deal.
Yep, Shumpert got some cash. You know, the big question mark, of course, is Tristan Thompson. We don't know what he's, as of now, is he going to sign with them or not? Look, for him, ain't no team signing him to no.
Ain't no team giving him 80.
Well, no team is going to sign him to an offer sheet because they're going to match it.
Exactly.
They're like, nah, like if he want that and you ain't willing to pay it, we not giving him max, a 5-year max deal. Yeah, and whatever's max for that, you know, a 4-year 80-something, they'll match. So they just like, nah, why waste time?
Exactly. I'm so sick and tired of people talking about Cleveland just need to pay him. I'm like, look at the deal they're offering him. 5 years, 80. I mean, how much money do you want? Yeah, you are not getting $100 million.
Nah, they paying him.
What the fuck? Tristan Thompson is really like, he's on the verge of being on my shit list. Like, he's getting on my nerves that much. I'm like, just sign the damn contract, man. Stop being such an asshole. God.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, you know, the rich get richer. Added Mo Williams on the cheap, which I didn't see coming at all. Great pickup. For sure.
Well, I wasn't shocked he went back to Cleveland. He said he enjoyed his time, you know, while he was with the Cavaliers, even, you know, minus LeBron being there. But, it you know, he enjoys the city. So, you know, that was a nice pickup for them because they need a backup point guard for sure.
Mm-hmm. Also added Richard Jefferson. You know, I expect he will get more time than Sean Marion got. Sean Marion got zero time.
Yeah, which was weird and questionable, but whatever.
Yeah, and Mike Miller's gone as well via trade. So this team, I mean, they stacked. I mean, you know, they are, you know, of course, and they should be. They are defending champs, defending Eastern Conference champs. So, of course, they should be favored to repeat. My one concern with them, well, LeBron's been on a tear. I have to give him that. You know, if he's at the point now where nobody's been that often since, you know, Russell Celtics. And mm-hmm. he's trying to get back to a finals for a sixth straight year. I know they said, well, we're going to manage his time. But they said that last year. And it's hard for a guy like that to be like, okay, we'll pull back on you. You know, if you're managing his time, basically you're saying he's playing 35 minutes. I don't see LeBron James playing 35 minutes with his team. He technically should. You know, it's the second season for everybody. Everybody's familiar with each other. So you got, you know, Kevin Love, who went a little unappreciated. You know, I know he's hungry because he didn't get to play in the playoff, you know, with that injury. But, you know, I like the team. 53 wins. I can actually see them bumping that up a little more. You know, 55, between 55, 57 wins. I mean, with the way they stack, possibly 60 if they play their cards right. But they gunning for the, you know, number one spot in the East. And I'll let you know at the end how I feel once we get through everybody. But Cleveland, forced to be reckoned with. What's your take on it?
They are definitely a force to be reckoned with. I'm not going to sit here and act like they're not a great team because they are. Questions I do have, though, I mean, yes, it's second year for everybody, and that includes David Blatt. Yep. And we all know that David Blatt, everybody wanted that fool fired after his first year. So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people finally were like, okay, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It was his first year. Now that it is his second year and he has been acclimated with other NBA roles, people are going to have high expectations again.
Yep.
And anything less, in my opinion, anything less than getting to the finals, he's losing his job. which means he's always going to have to make sure he is on his game. And it's hard to coach like that. So I'm very interested in seeing how that situation goes, because we all know, you know, all the hoopla that was going on last year with LeBron being coach, GM, and all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, does David Blatt now have the actual, you know, authority and you know, cachet to an extent to make his own calls? I mean, you saw J.R. Smith ran and raved about him in their media day and talked about how close he was with the coach. So it seems like he's building a good rapport with the players. I am curious to see how that result reflects on the floor. Now, as far as Cleveland, you know, finishing high, I'm not sure, and I don't know, only because of the amount of injuries that they have. Mozgov is hurt. Iman Shumpert is hurt. LeBron James just found out he got some back pain and some injuries there. I mean, fucking Kyrie Irving is out. Kevin Love has been injured and nicked up. So, you know, Dellavedova's hurt. So you got all these guys that are hurt and nicked up right now. You know, Kyrie Irving ain't projected to come back to like February. I mean, right. Same. I mean, Iman Shumpert isn't really expected back till, I guess, December around, or November-ish around that time. You know, Dellavedova, we don't know. Kevin Love, he could get hurt at some point of the season. We don't know. Anderson Varejao is almost guaranteed to get hurt at some point during the season. So the injury aspect of it, and the fact you brought up, is LeBron has played a lot of minutes. He has gone to 5 straight finals. Do you know how tiring and how much wear and tear that is on your body? I mean, look at how many minutes he had to play last year. You clearly saw in the finals that he was gassed. Mm-hmm. He had nothing left to give. I mean, he really literally had to do every fucking thing for that team. So now you take it back. He got some months of rest, but at the same time, you know, he'll have to keep in shape. You still got to play, you know, practice and all that to keep the game tight. He went to the USA practices and all that other good stuff. I mean, I'm very curious. And now he's having the back issues. I'm very curious how much he can really last throughout this season, or if injuries are going to really start to take their toll. I mean, he's at a point now, he's over 30 years old. You know, he's still in his prime. But as we've seen, once you start reaching, it ain't just football. Once in basketball too, once you start getting 30 plus, nicks and little injuries and stuff like that start to creep up. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with that. Kyrie Irving's another one. He's just been injury prone basically throughout his career. He's always hurt. So these are the things that I'm very interested in seeing Cleveland. Now, if everything falls together, of course, they're going to be a powerhouse of a team to deal with. But until I really see that, I question some things about this team.
No, I do. The injury bug is going to be an issue. I know we're going to be hearing this. I'm guaranteed all season with them. That's just what it feels like. That's every. Yeah, a lot of that. But yeah, that's going to be the question. I mean, is monitoring minutes and time and making sure everybody gets healthy is going to be the biggest concern from them. They can get into the playoffs healthy, make a nice run, gel at the right time. Sky's the limit. But yeah, David Blatt is on the hot seat. I would not want to be him this season.
Again.
Yep. But somebody who got a new coach, though, finished third, your Chicago Bulls. Biggest news for them. New
yes,
coach
sir.
Out is Tom Thibodeau in Fred Hoiberg.
The mayor. Let's go. Let's go, former Chicago Bull. Let's go. And it's eerily similar to Steve Kerr. I mean, you look at Steve Kerr. Granted, Steve Kerr did not coach in college, but Steve Kerr was the general manager of the Phoenix for a point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Hoiberg was working in the front office for the Minnesota Timberwolves for a point in time before he took the Iowa State coaching job. I mean, you look what he did with Iowa State. He completely turned that program around into basically a powerhouse for the time being. I think he's earned the right to coach in the NBA ranks. I mean, he has very good knowledge. I mean, even as a player, it's kind of funny seeing him as a coach. They used to play with this guy on basketball games and stuff. But even as a player, he was always solid, and he was always just a good dude. He had leadership qualities, so you kind of knew he could possibly seek the coaching path at some point. But I mean, at this point, I've heard nothing but compliments from the players in regards to him. You know, of course, none of the players have gone back and bashed, you know, Tom Thibodeau or anything like that. But they have kind of stated that it is a little bit refreshing to see a coach who's kind of a little bit more offensive minded. Mm-hmm. Is going to let things free flow a little bit. As we've seen in the preseason, he has been letting it rain with threes with this team. I mean, they're going to shoot a lot of threes. Guys are going to move the ball. There's going to be, you know, emphasis on ball movement. You know, it'll be nice to see some flow and some rhythm on offense, as opposed to a little bit of a stagnant offense with the Thibodeau era. Now, with that being said, with, you know, the question mark I have, you know, with the Bulls is, can the defensive intensity carry over from the Thibodeau era to now the Fred Hoiberg era?
Yes.
Because as we know, you know, Thibodeau made his niche with defense. So the question is, can that carry over? Can that same, you know, defensive mind and defensive focus carry over? I think it can. In the preseason, it's shown it's going to be a work in progress. Sometimes I think they get a little bit, you know, offensive happy. And then they forget about defense, because in a lot of the preseason games I've seen, they've been up by like 20 plus points, and then they get lackadaisical on defense, and then the team ends up coming back. So that is something I am concerned about. Other than that, I think Hoiberg's going to do good things. I mean, he's going to use the bench, unlike Tom Thibodeau did. You know, I don't think you're going to see Jimmy Butler lead the league in minutes played. I think Pau Gasol is going to be playing 38 minutes a game and things of that nature. I mean, I see Fred Hoiberg. He's going to use Mirotić a lot. You know, he's going to use Gibson a lot. This kid, Bobby Portis, has been very impressive in the preseason. He's going to use Bobby Portis. Doug McDermott will definitely be getting time. Tony Snell is going to get playing time. I mean, he's going to use the bench. Noah looks healthy now, but he's going to trim his minutes a little bit. I mean, Fred Hoiberg has played in this league and is smart enough to know how to manage certain things. It's very similar to what Steve Kerr had to do going into Golden State. You know, you're taking over an established team. It's not like he's taking over a terrible team. He's taking over a good team that was in the playoffs, in the hunt for the championship. I think he's going to add some offensive punch to this team. Jimmy Butler's going to play a major role. I think he's going to blow up even more than he did last season, because he's going to handle the ball a little bit more. He said that he wants to kind of be kind of point guardish and kind of dish the ball and be that point forward a little bit more. You know, we'll see how Derrick Rose compliments him when he does come back. I'm very curious to see what will happen on that aspect. But Derrick Rose is back nonetheless. He's practicing now a little bit. Can't do contact drills yet, but he is starting to get back into the flow of things. So I'm confident with this team, man. I'm confident with this bunch. The key's going to be staying healthy, because, I mean, the injury tolls were taken during the Thibodeau era, but I think part of that was the amount of minutes he was playing, guys. I don't think you're going to see that happen with Fred Hoiberg, and I think this team is really going to surprise a lot of people with how well they play this season.
Now, I feel you. You as you should be.
There it is.
Bigging up your squad. And all that. It should be. I know you're hoping for that, you know, Steve Kerr kind of magic, where he, you know, and especially for this team, it's almost the opposite, where the Golden State was really good offensively, and he helped make them a solid defensive team while, you know, giving them a great offense. You almost hope it works the opposite way for the Bulls, where he's going to, you know, bring their offense up, but still keep them remnants of what Thibodeau brought defensively. And now they not going to hold dudes to 80 points. We know that. Yeah. But you want them to at least not give up 100 points. They can score 100, but they hold teams to about like 95. Something like that.
Yep.
I mean, they have some great pieces. Like you were saying, with Jimmy Butler getting a bigger role, I am curious to see with Derrick Rose, because it's supposedly this whole rift. I want to see if Derrick Rose if it's almost like, all right, Jimmy Butler is going to be better, be more of a playmaker. Can Derrick Rose play off the ball a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Rose has the skills. Now, he's not, we don't know, he's not MVP Derrick Rose. Now, he did make it through the season, and you saw him in the playoffs in uniform.
That at least, those flashes.
Right. So that at least gives you hope that maybe he's a year removed. He's coming into this season. He understands new coach, you know, so no, he's not coming in with Thibodeau favoring him. You know, and they got pieces. I think Mirotić, like you said, is going to be featured a lot more. I think Dougie Mack is going to get – I mean, they got, you know, what? Between Mirotić, Dougie Mack, Mike Dunleavy, I mean, they got shooters all out there. Jimmy Butler can penetrate. Derrick Rose can penetrate. I hope this means we get to see more, quote-unquote, offense from Joakim Noah. I actually expect Noah to probably play – Tim Duncan S type minutes.
He'll probably play around 25 minutes a game.
Yeah, 25 to 30 minutes. He'll understand his injury situation, which means it should give more time for Taj Gibson. It should be good because we don't know how long he lasts. Pau Gasol showed you he's coming in the right way. He's got championship experience. So, Boo's going to be dangerous once again. I think this new coach will add some fire to him. And I mean, the East to me is top heavy. It ain't just Cleveland and everybody else. I do think Chicago was ready after how they season ended. They hungry and they ready to do some things.
Yes, sir.
It's moving on down. Somebody I'm not sure of, the Toronto Raptors. Had another solid season, won 49 games. You know, clearly, like, their team is led by their backcourt with DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. You know, made some changes well. You know, new additions. They made a gang. You know, biggest ones, DeMar Carroll, Corey Joseph, added Luis Scola, Anthony Bennett's on the team now. Even Bismack Biyombo on the squad. You know, loss in Grievous Vasquez, you know, big loss in Lou Williams and Amir Johnson.
Yeah, Lou Williams is a big loss because that was a huge punch off the bench.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to replace that. This team, I'm not, you know what, I'm not sure. They have some of the talent. Patrick Peterson's shown he's got some game. I do think DeMar Carroll was going to add a little more defensive intensity that I know the coach is going to love. Dwayne Casey's going to like that. They have to get back to how they were playing early in the season last year. They have to get on the defensive end. Yep. I think that's going to be critical. If they want to get past the first round, because they've got a great fan base that's going to support them, they've got to seriously defend more. They don't have to be, you know, the top five defensive team. But they've got to defend more, and I need to see more from Valanciunas. He needs to be featured a little bit more. He needs to step up. And DeMar DeRozan had an off year. He's got to bring his game up a bit as well if this Toronto team is going to really make some noise.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And DeMar DeRozan, I know it sounds like a freaking broken record. He's got to figure out a way to shoot threes consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like every year that's the one thing we talk about with him. Like, he has everything going for him. He has all the game. He can penetrate. He can hit the mid-range jumper, but he can't shoot threes to save his life. So, I mean, he's going to have to improve in that category. A couple of my concerns with this team, number one, are shooters. Grievous Vasquez and Lou Williams were probably their two best shooters on the team, you know, next to Kyle Lowry. How are you going to replace your shooters? And Lou Williams was that spark off the bench who could give you 15 points in like 2 minutes.
Right.
So, I mean, things like that are things I'm really concerned about with that team. I think they have the defensive presence, though, and they should be a little bit better on the defensive end. I mean, Valanciunas, DeMar Carroll, you know, Bismack Biyombo, you know, you got some guys in there who have defensive minds.
Even Corey Joseph.
Physical. Yeah, there you go. They added Corey Joseph as well, who comes from a championship contending team, who has, you know, playoff experience to an extent. So, you know, they have a lot of good things going for them. I know Spears going to love this. One of the other things I'm very curious to watch for Toronto this season is the curse of Anthony Bennett. And the reason I call it the curse of Anthony Bennett is because if you notice, there is one thing that has happened every single time Anthony Bennett has been on a specific team. They have had the number one pick going into the next season.
Mm.
He was the number one pick, was with Cleveland. They had the number one pick, got Andrew Wiggins, traded him with Anthony Wiggins to Minnesota. Then Minnesota got the number one pick. So, Spirit, I get you. I hear you loud and clear about the biggest bust in NBA history. I am very curious. If Toronto ends up with the number one overall pick after this season is over, I will call him the biggest bust in NBA history. Because that would just be three times. That would just be three times, and that's just like, you know, that's just too much of a coincidence. So, Spirit, I will grant you that. If Toronto gets the number one overall pick in the draft next season, Anthony Bennett is the biggest bust in NBA history.
I'll tell you this. If he's on a team, they get the number one pick, bet you money, Philadelphia 76ers trade for Anthony Bennett. Come on, my team. We need the number one pick.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. Moving on down, number five, them Washington Wizards. Wizards have steadily grown the last few years. Look like a serious contender. You know, of course, it all starts with their backcourt. John Wall took a huge step
last year.
Really learned to control himself and be an all-around great point guard. I like what I saw. I liked his improvement. Really stepped his game up. You know, shown he's trying to get into the argument of top point guards in the league. Bradley Beal, he's close. We keep saying this is going to be his breakout season. He needs to have it. Biggest loss for them, though. No more Paul Pierce. You know, who made big shot after big shot after big shot after big shot in the playoffs. You know, I'm curious to see what Randy Whitman now, who to me is going to be one of the coaches. Another coach is going to see it's going to be a little warm this season. Because, mm-hmm. you know, Wizards ownership, I know they're expecting a lot from this team that they've been so close. You know, they didn't do much, you know, added Jerry Dudley, Gary Neal, Allen Anderson, just some role players. This is just going to be some team growth. Obviously, with Paul Pierce gone, just add some time for Otto Porter Jr. I think it's his third year in the league now, I believe. You know, got to learn a lot. He showed some promise in the playoffs. Paul Pierce is now gone. He was a number three pick. Let's see some of that number three pick potential. See if they do something. Of course, they got the front court with Nene and Gortat. Chris Humphrey still there. Drew Gooden. Nice team. I want to see what they can do. 46 wins last year. They are a team who can hit 50 wins. Just like Toronto, they've got to kind of dig in a little bit, get a little defensive presence going. But they've shown they've made it to the second round, I believe, you know, last 2 years. They're ready mm-hmm. to break that ceiling, get to the Eastern Conference Finals and further. They got a good chance, man. I do like the Wizards, and I want to see how they grow.
Yeah, they have that P word about them that I don't like, and that is potential. They seem to have so much potential, but they just can't match it for whatever reason. The big question for them, I mean, for me, is going to be injuries. I mean, John Wall's been nicked up here and there throughout his career. Bradley Beal is starting to get that injury-prone label a little bit. He seems to always be nicked up. You know, Nene is injury-prone. He's always nicked up. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge issue and a huge factor playing into this team. I'm very curious to see what happens. Also, I'm very curious to see what happens with Otto Porter. I mean, we've seen, and, you know, he was the number three pick a few years ago, and it's time for him to step up his game. We saw some flashes of him throughout the playoffs last year, but he's got to step into that starting role. I mean, he's filling in some big shoes. I know Paul Pierce took over that role and did some good things. But now they need this young guy to step up and really make some things happen. So if Otto Porter has a good season and can step up and grow and show that growth in his third season, I think they're going to be a really solid team.
No, I think so too, man. They need growth from all their players. But if they can get something from Otto Porter and Bradley Beal to have some nice years, they can make some serious noise.
Absolutely.
Moving on down to the number 6 team last year, who everybody's expecting to make some serious noise, Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jason Kidd forced his way over there. You know, like we said that time, we really were shocked that Brooklyn signed him, you know, a team who was trying to win now and made all the moves to win now. Didn't seem like that was the best fit, you know, forces himself over to Milwaukee. And takes a team who, what, they had, I think, they were like 20-some wins. They had the second pick in the draft and got their team to 500, to 41 wins.
Yep.
And this team is young, long, athletic. You know, they had a similar kind of vibe, not totally, because, you know, Oklahoma City had them dudes, but like when Oklahoma City played the Lakers that year, in the first round and gave the Lakers problems, everybody was like, oh, shit, be on the lookout. It feels that way with Milwaukee. You know, one of the big free agent moves, adding Greg Monroe.
Huge. That was probably my favorite free agent this past season.
He's going to get busy, man. I mean, I don't expect him to come in and dominate and be, quote unquote, the number one off scoring guy. I think that's probably going to go back to probably Jabari Parker, who came off a sad season. He was balling too, so we don't really know what they can do. But with him, Greg Monroe, great rebounder, solid player, he hit the 15-footer. It's going to play center, so they will be a little undersized, but length is not a problem with this team.
No, and
kept John Henson. He's long.
Yep.
Greek Freak, who, I mean, this dude, he, I don't know what he can't do. There's talks.
He's ready to explode out in the scene.
Yeah, adding the three, Chris Middleton, who came out during the playoffs, Michael Carter Williams, added Grievous Vasquez. You know, they got some talent on this team, man. I mean, this team can possibly really make some noise. You know, it's for me, I'm not putting high expectations on them. I think they're at this point made it to the first round. I think they're good enough to get past that, you know, get to the second round. But I really like this team. Jason Kidd really has this team playing well, especially on the defensive end. They can kind of couple that, throw some offense in there. You know, they're on the right track. I really like Milwaukee. I'm happy for Milwaukee fans. They've been down since Ray Allen left. So,
yep.
You know, they have some serious potential. I know it's the P word, but they have on the good side where you can actually see it. It's tangible, and they can actually really do something special this season.
Yeah, that is very true. And they gave my Bulls a hell of a battle in the playoffs. I mean, that was a very exciting series to watch going down to the wire. But, I mean, you know, this team is crazy young. They have a lot of youth on their side. And like you said, they're just long. Man, John Henson is long. Greg Monroe is long. Chris Middleton is long. Michael Carter Williams is long. All them fools just have length. You know, the alphabet is ready to just blow up on the scene at any given moment. He's talked about playing a little point guard. So clearly, you know, he's been working on ball handling skills. The one concern I have with this team is that since they are so young, is I just hope that they're not a little full of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my only concern, really, when it comes to a young squad like that, is that they're more cocky than hungry, if that makes any sense. So, I mean, I want to see this team, if they show the fight and the grit that they showed in the playoffs against my Bulls, man, they're going to be a very tough team to face off against. I mean, you know, once Jabari Parker comes back, he and Greg Monroe can complement each other well, because Greg Monroe likes to be in the paint. you know, quite a bit, which is why he and Andre Drummond didn't mesh well too much in Detroit. You know, but Jabari Parker is more athletic. He can move around the perimeter. He can shoot the three. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to clog up the lane. So the lane is really Greg Monroe's for him to have. You know, he'll board, he'll pass, he can hit the mid-range shot. You know, the only real question with him is, can he block enough shots for them? But like you said, length isn't a problem. He's going to distract shots. He's going to distract jumpers and things of that nature. So this team, to me, is kind of boom or bust. I could see them either being really good or really bad. Nothing in the middle.
Yeah, I can see that. You brought that up. I could see them reading the press clippings. You having some success. It's going to be up to Jason Kidd to really keep this team humble. Like, look, we didn't do nothing. You know, people, okay, they, you know, we basically, I think they had the biggest improvement, you know, record-wise from last year. So, of course, people are on him and predicting great things from him. He really has to keep them in that workhorse mindset to just build. We're not winning the championship next season. Let's keep building. You know, just keep improving. If we get improvement from every player on this team, you know, things will work out. Well, it's just a day by day, keep getting better. Other concern I have for this team is outside shooting. You know, I know they got O.J. Mayo, who doesn't play as much, Jared Bayless. Grievous Vasquez was needed. They don't have a lot of great shooters.
Yeah.
Antetokounmpo is supposedly working on a three. I mean, the dude can – for him, honestly, if I'm him, I'm looking at Kawhi Leonard. I'm basically like, what Kawhi Leonard every year adds something. He's only 20. Like, don't think all
that's the stuff, crazy.
Yeah, don't think you need to just do everything and I need to score 25 points a game. Just play your game, let it come to you. But yeah, if they can get some outside shooting, I know the whole thing with Michael Carter Williams is not a shooter. I don't need him to shoot. Like I saw somebody else say, like, he needs to take the shots that he can take. And I saw, I think it was on NBA TV, they compared him to Andre Miller. Or even look at your coach. Jason Kidd didn't develop a 3-point shot until he was like 35. Yep. But he's, you know,
until he had to, right, basically.
But he's not getting into the Hall of Fame because he can score. He was a great rebounder. He was a great setup guy. If he just does that, you know, attacks the basket, gets easy layups, you know, stuff like that. Nope, he doesn't have to shoot the three well at this point. It would be nice, you know, but don't worry about it. Just, you know.
He's a good assist, man.
Yeah, you know, Jason Kidd won a championship. Rajon Rondo won a championship and wasn't a shooter. You know, just run the offense. Take shots you can take. You get layups, easy baskets. That's fine. But, yeah, this team, yeah, as long as they don't read the press clippings like that, they can keep moving up. Just keep taking a day at a time and just get better. You know,
the funny thing is you said the Greek Freak should study Kawhi. I'm like, Michael Carter Williams should study old flicks of Tony Parker with him just constantly going to the rack.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing with his size, he should actually learn one post move. Maybe like a little baby hook. That's it. You know, just, you know, if he can get a baby hook and a floater, that'd be really nice for him. You know, like his range can come along in time. But at his age right now, if he can get a floater, and a little, like, I got a smaller point guard on me, a little post up, hook over the top, he'll be good. That's all he really needs. And then from there, we get to the start hitting the under 500 teams.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This ain't going to take long.
No. But, you know, who's number seven? Boston Celtics, who saw some fight last year. You know, this team, I expect them to be better. Did. Brad Stevens has done a great job with this team, really getting them to play. Actually got them playing a little defense. Big move by Danny Ainge, bringing Isaiah Thomas over. I think having him in training camp now is going to be something real nice. You know, added the rookies Terry Rozier and R.J. Hunter. Amir Johnson's over here now. Big, nice trade getting David Lee. You know, this team, they deep. They are deep. And I think another year under their belt. I expect Avery Bradley to improve. Marcus Smart should get better now that he's the second year. You know, for them, it's just they got a lot of young talent. You know, but they did make the playoffs. That should give them a little confidence. I like where Boston is headed. Over 40 wins again? Possibly. Possibly. But I do I like what they have, and I do think they can get better.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Boston, my one concern is I don't really see – I'm not seeing all the pieces to the puzzle. I mean, I'm seeing, you know, little things here and there, but they're just a glut of like, force. They have Sullinger. They got Kelly Olynyk, who I consider more of a four than a five.
Right.
They got Amir Johnson. You got David Lee. They got a lot of bigs in there. And then, I mean, you got a lot of point guards, too. So I just see more assets than anything. I mean, you have Evan Turner in there. You know, you got Terry Rozier. You got Isaiah Thomas.
Jay Crowder, who they signed.
Yeah, you signed Jay Crowder, who's pretty good. But, I mean, we don't really know if he's going to duplicate what he did in the playoffs. I'm just not sure with this team. I mean, I know they fought last year, and that was great, and I think they caught a lot of people by surprise. But I just think when it comes to just – and I forgot they got Tyler Zeller too. When it comes to just a talent standpoint, they got talent. They got a lot of talent, but it's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of repetitive talent.
Yeah,
and I have to figure out who they should keep and who should go. And also, Jonas Jerebko, they re-signed him.
Yeah, it's a lot. Another four.
Yeah, they really got a lot of duplicate players. Shoot, James Young from last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, they peaked. They weren't a team you would expect to make the playoffs. Definitely not seventh. No. But with some of the teams that weren't in the playoffs, I'm expecting to bump up. They may not, 40 may not be enough, but Brad Stevens has done a good job with this team.
Yes, yeah.
I think they can continue to get better, but at some point it is going to be up to Danny Ainge to make some moves for sure to lessen that load.
Exactly.
And moving on, and the team who finished eighth in the playoffs, in Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
Yeah, they re-signed a lot of they same people. You know, Brooke Lopez got paid. Thaddeus Young got paid. This is the team, I guess they're starting to realize that, and all, you know, kind of getting rid of guys. You know, no longer Jaren Williams is gone. You know, got rid of Mason Plumlee, which I was a little shocked by that.
I was too.
Yeah, Mason Plumlee gone. And his team is really, back to Joe Johnson being the man.
Yeah.
On the squad, Thomas Robinson. Even added Andre Bargnani. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson they got via trade, young rookie. Shane Larkin. Donald Sloan. Yeah, they got guys. This team I expect to fall back a bit. I mean, it's, Brooke Lopez can have another solid season. You know, Jared Jack is a good player, but you don't really see him at the starting point guard. He can play it, but I don't know. I don't know with this team.
I'm very curious with Brooklyn. They're another team that I could see could kind of be boom or bust. I could see them, catching lightning in a bottle and taking off. I mean, Jared Jack – a lot of people don't see him as a starter. I like Jared Jack, and I think Jared Jack can really do some things if given the opportunity. Whenever he's had to fill in as a starter, he's been pretty damn good. So I think giving him an opportunity now to let him actually be the starter and not have to look over his shoulder all the time be a little bit more refreshing to him. I think he'll be a better fit for that team than Darren Williams was. And I think he and Joe Johnson can work well together in the backcourt. But just from a talent standpoint, I just don't see it. You know, kind of like you, I see this team taking a step back this year. I'm not really impressed with everything that they have right now. They're missing certain things. I mean, they don't have enough scoring. I mean, there's not enough shooting on that team. There's not enough athleticism on that team. There's a lot of things that are missing. So, you know, I mean, you know, backup, solid backup to Brook Lopez. They got rid of him, Mason Plumlee. So again, it didn't really make sense to me either. So I'm not seeing it with this team. So I expect them to take a step back a little bit.
Yeah. Player I'm curious to see is, what's the name? Bojan Bogdanović. And he had some nice game last year. Looked like he should be the starting shooting guard. I'm curious to see what he's going to bring to this team.
Yep.
You're listening to the Brothers Lame Sports Happy Hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
Yeah, he chose that. I didn't make him do that, y'all.
All right, then we're getting into the non-playoff teams. Home with the Indiana Pacers. Paul George had the ugly injury last year. You know, really hurt them. This team, before last season, you know, they were in the mix for a championship.
Yep.
And it was like, you know what? It didn't work. Let's just blow it up.
Yep.
You know, David West is gone. All the size advantage they had, I guess they were like, nah, let's get rid of that. Roy Hibbert got traded. David West. Skoll is gone. Coming in. Rookie Miles Turner, who's nice. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hill, Monte Ellis. You know, this, you know, Paul George, of course, is not a fan of playing the four.
Yep.
But right now he's penciled in as the four. I'm curious for Frank Vogel. He's really has to change this team on the fly. They were a pounded in, you know, banging defensive team. They're starting to switch to a more, you know, where the league is going, up-tempo type team. You know, C.J. Miles at the three. Ian Mahimi is now going to be the starting center. You know, but, you know, I will say, though, with this change in style, they can be pretty effective. You know, Paul George, you know, is one of the star players in the league. You know, he can be really versatile at the four. You know, of course, you know, they've got Jordan Hill, and they've got a little bit of size where he can play the three if when necessary. I think Monte Ellis can be a nice fit for the squad. Paul George really hasn't had a 25-point get team for a player since he's been the guy. I mean, Granger was that dude, but once Paul George blew up, he got hurt. So he's never had a guy who could take pressure off him scoring-wise. And I think Monte Ellis is the kind of guy who can do it. Yeah, he played really well in Dallas, you know, really kind of changed his, you know, style and you know, changed his vibe. So got, you know, before in Golden State and Milwaukee, he was, you know, kind of a cancer, but he's changed that up. George Hill comes back healthy this year. You know, this team, had 38 wins. I think they can do better than that. I can see them moving up, man. I not far, but, you know, with a guy like Paul George, who was a beast, you know, and Monte Ellis, you know, things should be on the upswing for the Pacers.
Yeah. I mean, I personally think they're going to be a middle-of-the-pack team. Looking at their squad, yes, I think offensively they're going to be a much better team. I think the ball's going to flow a little bit more. The pace is going to pick up. But I personally think they are going to be one of the worst defensive teams in the league. Considering where they were and where they came from, you know, with the Roy Hibberts, even though he wasn't the best offensive player and made some boneheaded decisions at times – you know, he was a defensive presence. He was a big body. He was was able to block shots on a consistent basis, and give them some distraction and just a figure inside who can cause some havoc, you know, as well as David West, who gave them that toughness and that mental toughness, mm-hmm. And was the veteran of that group and the guy who really didn't take any shit from anybody in that group. So, I mean, losing those two guys along with Loey Scola is huge. I mean, that's a lot of size gone. You know, Mahaney's going to start at center. We really don't know with him. He hasn't. They have probably one of the smallest backcourts with Monte Ellis and George Hill in the league. So that's going to be an issue when you've got some size in a different backcourt that you're playing against. Because, I mean, shooting guards are just going to take it to and post up Monte Ellis all day. So that's something they're going to have to look out for. They've got a little bit of a hole, I guess, if you want to call it, in the three spots since you're playing Paul George at the four. I guess he'll go back and forth. But again, you know, who's that guy? Who's that other wing player for you that's going to step up and make things happen? So there's a lot of questions that go along with this team, but I see them being in the middle of the pack. I think they'll make the playoffs. But again, I think they're going to be one of the worst defensive teams in the league, personally.
I can see that. I mean, yeah, the way they were built previously, they were built as a defensive team. Maybe it didn't work. You know, you tried it for a number of years. You lost, you know, a lot of the guys that helped make that defensive team what it is. So, you know, you got to change it up. And, yeah, I could expect them to be giving up. They're going to have to score a lot because they're going to be giving up a lot. But I do think they'll be at least be better than last year. Now, going to a team that people are expecting big things from this team. Storm, this is your squad. And I said this is your squad, the Miami Heat. Finished 37 wins last year, a lot of injuries. You know, I'm happy to say Chris Bosh, who got joked on a lot during LeBron James' time there, you know, got through his health scare last season. You know, fully cleared to play and get back. Dwayne Wade, for the moment, for the year, signed a one-year deal. He and the organization are good. You know, Goran Dragic got his money.
Mm-hmm.
Hassan Whiteside, you know, got some paper. Luol Deng is back. Got one of the sleeper picks with Justice Winslow. You know, added Gerald Green, Amari Stoudemire. You know, Shabazz Napier is gone. But this team, I mean, I ain't one of them that's going to be like, oh, this team, you know, when people talk about the East, this team is second behind Cleveland. I ain't ready to go there.
Nah.
But this team, well, I know you ain't. But this team, you know, great starting five. I think, you know, with training camp and with a full, you know, full training camp and whatnot. You know, and hungry because, you know, Dwayne Wade, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, he wants to go out right. He's competitive. He got an edge. I know he ain't happy with the way things ended, so he's going to come out firing. You know, I like what I see from the potential from this team. You've got a nice mix of, you know, young and old. You got Chalmers off the bench. Gerald Green gives him a nice punch off the bench as well. A nice shooter. Amari Stoudemire, you know, can give you a little bit, a little something down there. You still got Chris Anderson. You still got Udonis Haslam. You know, Josh McRoberts is healthy, which is key. So they've got some size down there, got some bodies, you know, that can do some. You know, for them, of course, the big thing is one of the things is going to be health. You know, because Luol Deng, you know, McRoberts, Dwayne Wade, number one on that list. You know, that's going to be a concern.
Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, that him too. You know, I like what they got. You know, John Lucas the third. They have a nice squad. And I do see them making the playoffs this year for sure. They have the potential to really do something. How far they go, I'm not really ready to say yet, but I like this Miami Heat team. This is the best team they've had post LeBron, which has only been a year. So it ain't like it's been five, you know, but they, you know, getting a guy like Dragic, getting a ball handler, you know, back there, a young guy who can put up points, you know, take pressure off Dwayne Wade off the backcourt. They have to do a lot. I think Bosch is going to continue to show that he is an all-star caliber player, get back to that, you know, 20-10 dude. Hassan Whiteside came out the box out of nowhere. You know, but now you ain't surprising people now. Everybody knows your name. You know, you know, getting into Twitter battles with Draymond Green and all that. You know, you talking that mess. I want to see you back it up. This Miami Heat team is serious. It's for real. How far they go, I don't know, but they can go far. It just depends on, you know, health and if Spoelstra can, you know, get the most out of this squad. I like this Miami Heat team.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm expecting big things from the Miami Heat. I think they got a great team that has a lot of balance to it. Nice mix of vets, nice mix of youth and athleticism. So there's a lot of different lineups they can use to interchange and throw things at guys. So I like what I'm seeing with Miami. The two things, of course, number one being health. I mean, that's the number one thing, of course, with this Miami Heat team, because, I mean, they go as far as their leader, Dwayne Wade, takes them. And, I mean, with his chronic knee issues, we know that, you know, it's only a matter of time before something happens and he gets hurt or nicked up. Let's knock on wood and hope it's not this season. If they can stay healthy, I'm expecting big things from this team, very big things. But, again, if they don't and they guys get hurt, you know, we mentioned all the guys that are injury-prone on that team. Unfortunately, they can't stay hurt, then it might be another long season in Miami. But I'm banking on the fact they're going to stay relatively healthy, and I think they're going to do really good things. The other thing that's going to be important is for Eric Spoelstra to keep Hassan Whiteside's head correct. Because as we saw last year, this guy got a little full of himself, came on the scene, was doing some great things, and then started getting some issues, I guess, in the locker room and, you know, between his teammates. You know, and then you got this shit with Draymond Green on Twitter that you're battling with him and talking smack. So, again, you had a great season. You came out of the box, out of the blue, you know, former Sacramento King who had to go overseas and prove his game, and he did so and came over and did some good things. But mentally is where he's going to have to carve out his niche and make sure that he is mentally focused on the task at hand, because if guys find out that mentally you're weak, that's what they're going to do to you. They're going to attack you. They're going to poke and prod you until you lose it in the game, you know, and get tossed out of a game or do something stupid that's going to cost your team the game. I mean, these are the little things that guys look at and pay attention to and use to their advantage. So that's one of the things Eric Spoelstra is going to have to do. But if those two things happen, I think Miami should be good.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. He is full of himself. I do remember that. And, hey, I mean, you know, one good year, so what? I mean, really. That's like, oh, I got a hit single. Okay. Can you give me two?
And now, three? Chris Bosh is back now. So it's not like he has the pain in the lane to himself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bosh has the range to do something. But, yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm happy for Whiteside.
I am too.
He came out and, I mean, he, you know, improved greatly. I mean, nobody saw that coming, but he's like, hey, don't read your press clippings. Don't start thinking you the ish. Like, I'm the best center in the league. All right. You know, cause that's how he's coming off. Like, exactly. I'm the best. Like, you slow your roll. You had a great season, but now
Anthony Davis dropped 50 on your ass.
Yeah. You ain't coming for nobody. People know who you are now. You want the name, the recognition. Here you go. Now prepare for everybody's best game against you.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's real. On to the Michael Jordan squad, them Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, I like what they did in the offseason. I like Nicholas Batum and some of the additions they made.
No, I do too. You know, Nicholas Batum is solid. I like Jeremy Lin. I like Spencer Hawes. Frank Kaminsky.
Yep.
The Lance Stephenson thing didn't work out, you know, so they shipped him off. Also traded away Gerald Henderson and Noah Vonleh.
The Noah Vonleh thing kind of threw me by surprise, only because I'm like, they're giving up on him a little early because he was supposed to be a stud.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I'm like, I don't know, but you know, this team should bounce back. 33 wins. They should be better. Michael Kidd Gross, Chris, losing him for that this period of time is going to hurt.
That's going to sting a lot.
He's a solid 3-and-D guy. Al Jefferson now got some backup. I expect him to continue to do well. Kimber Walker, you know, hopefully he doesn't get hurt again, but he's played well. I think Batum, I hope. I always thought he could really blow up in Portland. They traded him. I hope he has a little chip on his shoulder and comes with it, brings his A game. Also added Jeremy Lamb. Yes, they got Cody Zeller. I think Frank Kaminsky is going to be nice for the squad. I think Charlotte can improve on the 33 wins they have. Oh, that Michael Kidd Gilchrist sting. But the way the East is, they have a chance to sneak in.
Yeah.
And I do expect a bounce back season from them.
I do as well. I could see them being similar to Boston of last year. Being that team that nobody really thought about and didn't think was going to do too much, but, you know, ended up making a nice run and getting into the playoffs. I could see them doing that same thing. I think Nicklas Batum is primed for a bounce back season. I think, you know, now with him being not necessarily the focal point, but a much bigger piece of the offense, I believe, than what he had in Portland. You know, I mean, granted, it's kind of a similar situation since you have Al Jefferson and you have Kemba Walker back there. But the star power to an extent is a little lessened than LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard. Yeah, it's not the same thing.
No, it is not.
So he'll get an opportunity to take on a little bit more of a role. I think he'll handle the ball a little bit more and have an opportunity to be a true playmaker for this team. Kemba Walker is a guy who can get hot and shoot. But I think part of their reasoning of bringing Nicklas Batum over was to get the ball out of Kemba Walker's hands a little bit, because he's really, it seems like he's the one ball handler they got on that team. At this point, I mean, now you add Batum to that team as well to go along with Jeremy Lin as well. So now you've added some additional ball handlers who can help you take the ball out of Kemba Walker's hands. He can play off the ball, and when he gets hot, he can hit. So I mean, you got some guys who can shoot as well. Jeremy Lin can shoot. Jeremy Lamb can shoot. Kemba Walker can shoot. Batum can shoot. You got some shooters. You know, Kaminsky can shoot three. So they've got some guys who can do some good things. I think Al Jefferson, hopefully, but knock on wood, he stays healthy this year. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people and do some good things this year.
Yeah, I think the key for this team to make the playoffs, I think, is going to be their role players. You know, Al Jefferson's proven. Kemba Walker, who I know a lot of people don't, you know, really like, but I like Kemba Walker. I do think that will help get the ball out of his hands because he does hog it a little bit more. It is going to come down to the Batoons. I hope Jeremy Lin gets some run, for real.
Yeah.
Because he should have got more run in Oklahoma City, so I hope he gets some run. Frank Kaminsky, who can open it up for Al Jefferson, you know, spreading, you know, hitting them footer, spreading the floor. It's going to be up to the role, the third and other guys, to really get this team into the playoffs and really make some noise.
Yeah.
Onto the next, them Detroit Pistons.
Oh boy!
You know, oh my God! You know, underachieved again. Only 32 wins. Ooh, 50 losses. Ooh, it's getting bad. We getting into the bad section now. But you know, big thing for them. They, you know, Gray Monroe was gone. They made some moves.
I expect Andre Drummond to go nuts this season.
Yeah, this is it. They moved it on, was basically saying, we believe in you. You're our dude. You know, can you deliver? Can you be, you know, prove that you're, you know, should, you know, quote unquote, a top five center? Can you give some, can you
I
give
think
us some
you
20
can,
and 10
and
love?
He will. No, yes,
they,
he will.
Yeah, they, you know, they added some, you know, Ervan Ilyasova. I like the Stanley Johnson pick. This rookie, I think
he's been balling, dude. Summer league, preseason, everything. He's been hooping.
Mm-hmm. Got Aaron Baines, Darren Hillard, rookie, Marcus Morris. You know, you got Reggie Jackson, who I want to see take a step up this season. He can put up the numbers. But if he's going to be the starting point guard, which he is, because Brandon Jennings is not going to be back yet. You know, yep. When Brandon Jennings gets back, I want to see this team. Look, I ain't even a Detroit Pistons fan. They got to get better than 30 wins. They have the squad to do that. You know, I think Stanley Johnson, as the season goes, will get better. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope showed he's got some nice game. This team, I want to say, should be better than 32. I could totally see them matching this again. But, you know, straight up, this whole season is all about seeing what Andre Drummond can do. And then second of all, after I want to see if Reggie Jackson can improve his game. He wanted to be a starting point guard in the league. You got it. Now you're going to bring it. And Van Gundy, you wanted the dual hat. You know, he made the moves. He's made some nice moves in this offseason. Yep. You know, I think Ilya Slova starting can really spread the floor for Drummond. Now I need to see Van Gundy, the coach, really put his stamp on this team and, you know, make this team into a for real threat, if possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting to see what this team's going to do. Personally, I just don't think they got enough firepower. I just think there's too much conflict on this team. I mean, what happens when Brandon Jennings does come back? You got two point guards back there who basically do the same thing. Both of them shoot. Both of them like to hog the ball. You know, granted, they will get their assists, but at the same time, they're very flashy players. You know, when it comes to, you know, who's the offense going to run through? Is it going to run through Reggie Jackson? Is he going to pout if he doesn't get enough shots and all that stuff? Are you going to run it through Andre Drummond, similar to what you did with Dwight Howard? Are you going to do that? You know, is Stanley Johnson going to play? Is he going to start? You know, how many minutes is he going to play? Can we see a third-year leap from Caldwell Pope? There are a lot of questions. Who's filling? You know, I know Ilyasova was brought over to be that stretch four to space the floor for Andre Drummond, but he's been injury-prone throughout his career. So, I mean, there are a lot of questions that go along with this Detroit Pistons team. You know, again, if all things fall together and things go well, they could surprise a lot of people and be a 40 to 45 win team. You know, but realistically speaking, looking at everything as the team, I see them again similarly duplicating that around 35 wins, I would say.
Yeah. Honestly, for them, with the East the way it is, I don't see them getting in the playoffs. But if they can get to 500 to get to about 40 wins, I would be happy. I would be like, yep. Okay, now we making strides. Yep. But yeah, it's hard for the Pistons, but you know, they this season, I hope for them can do something. Yeah. Ilyasova hadn't played well since that contract year when he was like a damn getting 10 rebounds a game.
Exactly.
All right. Moving on. Teddy D, your Orlando Magic.
Oh boy.
Now we're getting to the bottom. 25 wins. I mean, you know, but
at the bottom of the map. Yeah. Jesus.
But I mean, you got Oladipo, you know, Tobias Harris, you re-signed with nice, solid dude. Underrated player on your team who doesn't get enough
Vucevic.
Love. Yes, Vucevic. Give me him. I want him on my team. Shit. This dude gets it busy. Aaron Gordon, you're hoping takes a step up. You know, I know
they got that that European they picked Mario something.
I remember Hezonja. Yeah, this dude does not lack in confidence whatsoever.
At all. What?
And said he was one of the most, you know, pro ready guys to come out, had range, size. You know, he
showed some flashes in the summer league. He looked pretty good.
He has. I mean, you got CJ Watson. Add some veteran leadership, you know, Effie Payton. Now that he's, you know, gone through the rookie season, you know, just like with Michael Carter Williams, I don't expect him to have to shoot a lot, but he really needs to run point. You look, you got Tobias Harris, you got Lola Oladipo, you need to make sure you get them to rock.
Yep.
And, you know, Aaron Gordon, I don't know. Can he do something? It's always the third year, but I need all this hype about what he can do. To me, last season, he ain't do nothing.
Yep.
So this season, I want the way the season to end to be like, oh, shit, Aaron Gordon looked pretty nice.
Yep.
You know, summer league, summer league is summer league.
Yep.
You know, if he got confidence from summer league, great. Now you got to put it on the court and make it happen. But can they get to 30 wins?
Maybe.
Maybe, but I want to see some improvement. And third, like I was saying, third year, Oladipo, number two pick, bring it.
I think they'll be a little bit better than they were last season. I like the addition of Scott Skiles.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the kind of coach who can he's the kind of guy who can whip your team into shape, but he can't take you all the way there.
Yeah.
So I think he'll make improvements with this team. I think he'll be good for Elfrid Payton. I know Jacques Vaughn was the last coach of the team, but I think Scott Skiles, you know, having the roots with the Orlando Magic and stuff like that, you know, will be able to really do some good things with Elfrid Payton and mentor him a little bit more. I think he'll help with Oladipo as well. I know they'll probably, you know, play off each other a little bit better this year. You know, Aaron Gordon, we just got to see, man. I've never been convinced of his offensive game. I know he showed some flashes in the summer league, but again, it is summer league, so, you know, remains to be seen. Vucevic is Vucevic. He'll probably be an all-star candidate again.
Mm-hmm.
But the real question with this team is depth. Do they have enough depth? I don't think so. I mean, they added certain pieces, but, you know, they traded away Mo Harkless and some of these other guys. So I'm not sure if they have enough depth to really make it through and catapult themselves to a 40-plus win team.
No.
You know, but, you know, in the range of 30 wins, you know, I could see that team being around 30, a little bit more than 30 wins maybe.
Yeah. I mean, Scott
Baby Skiles, steps.
Yeah, Scott Skiles is a guy who's good at turning around your team. In the next couple of seasons, I think he'll give this team an identity. With that, I would expect a guy like Oladipo to get better. I think Scott Skiles is going to improve this team on both ends of the court, and they should come out. I can see them. Yeah, 40 is that's asking a lot, but
yeah,
an additional 10 wins get to 35. I can see that. I think that yeah. I can see that with Scott Skiles as your coach. And then we get into the deeper Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, we way deep down. Oof, oh, boy.
Coming off 18 wins.
Oh, shit.
And we ain't even hit the bottom yet.
Oh, boy.
Man, Sixers have had, oh, my God, they've had a rough season and off season. I got to say.
It seems like a rough, like, 5 years.
It does seem like it, though. It does seem like it. I mean, of course, the biggest, you know, offseason acquisition is Jahlil Okafor. Fell to them, sure. Made some trades. So they added Nick Skauskas, Jason Thompson, Carl Landry, Kendall Marshall, who I saw was hurt. This is just really about playing your young dudes and just seeing some promise. I mean, everybody wants to see what Jahlil Okafor can do. Him and Noel, it's going to be a little weird just because this is his second full season. I would hope, and now that's asking a lot, but I would like to see if Noel comes back with like a 12-foot jumper. Yes. If he can hit it with a little confidence. Because the dude rebounds like crazy, great shot blocker. You know, you've got a nice chip there. Okafor, he's like just a chip. He's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. I hope he kills I hope when he comes to the, I hope when he, oh, he's in LA, 35, 20, seven blocks. I hope he kills, but, you know, I'm going to speak about the other dude in a minute. Covington shows some nice flashes. You know, I feel for Philly fans because you at this point, I'm looking at the squad like, what the hell is going on? It really is just play your young dudes, see what you got, and let's go from there. I feel bad for the coach as a, you know, ex-Spurs coach. He's got the team playing. They play. They play,
they
with
play hard.
Yeah, they play hard. That's all you can ask for the team. Can they get to about 25 wins? I know that's asking a lot, especially with Marshall and Rotten. Isaiah Cannon show some game.
Man, that's asking a lot. Yeah. 25 wins.
I know, damn. Man. I know, but the East seems to have a lot of potential to get better. It's just a lot. You know, and Embiid's still on there. Speaking of Embiid, should we go into this now or should I save him for I'm gonna save him because he is definitely getting a what the fuck moment after all the shit I read about him.
Now, I have an idea of what you're talking about. If it's that Sports Illustrated shit, then
okay. No walking boot, kneading, and just not really taking.
And abusing the physical therapist. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, we'll save that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say that. But for Philly fans, you know, I want to see how you big men do. I think Noel has shown he's got some game. You know, Landry, you know, they added some veteran pieces, which I like. You can't just have all rookies and young guys on your team. So I think that will help out. This whole season is, let's see what the team has. And I hope Okafor shows that he's a rookie of the year potential. And it's going to be another long season.
Yeah, it's going to be a long season for Philly fans, but I think it'll be a little bit of a better season. Call me a little optimistic, but I like some of the pieces that Philly has. You know, starting in the front court, you got New Orleans Noel and you got Jahlil Okafor, who are basically fire and ice. These guys do two totally different things. Okafor is more your scoring guy. You know, Noel is more of a defender, so I think they'll play off each other very well. I like Robert Covington personally. Part of it is because he was on my fantasy league team last year and he was gold. But I like the kid. He's long. He's about 6'8". He can play the small forward. He can hit three. He's got some athleticism to him. I think he can take another step this year and do some good thing. Nick Stauskas is a guy we don't know about. He was a top 10 pick last year in the draft. The Kings didn't really use him. You know, this guy was known for his shooting abilities coming out of Michigan. So I'm very curious to see what Nick Stauskas can do because I think he might give them he could be a diamond in the rough that people just don't really know about that they acquired. And I mean, you look at the point guard position, you know, you got Pierre Jackson, you know, Tony Rutan's another guy who's been nicked up but has shown flashes of good things when he is healthy. So they've got some pieces. I'm curious to see how it all comes together. I mean, partly with, you know, a little bit of the difference with Philly and some, you know, like Boston, how I mentioned earlier, how they kind of have pieces all over. You know, with Philly, yeah, it's a lot of young guys, but at the same time, you can kind of see the direction that this team is going. You're seeing stuff starting to line up in its proper place. You got Noel. You got Okafor. They got this kid, Sario or whatever, overseas, primed to come over next season. You know, you got Nick Stauskas. You know, so let's say you do hypothetically have another down season. You know, you get another high draft pick. You know, apparently this draft is supposed to be pretty strong. You know, you get your European guy to come over here. He's experienced. He's got some skills. You know, who knows? Maybe, you know, a free agent sees some of the talent. Philly plays well and might want to join Philly. You get a nice point guard you add to the team or a nice three or two that you can add to the team. You know, these are the things that I think Philly fans need to kind of look forward to. You know, and not try to just look at things in the worst light. because there are some positives to this team. Now, it's going to be a long season. I don't expect them to crack 30 wins. You know, like you said, if they can hit about 25 wins, you know, get close to 30 wins, I think that can be considered a successful season for them. As bad as that might sound, it's baby steps with them. It's baby steps with them. Yeah, they're a baby team. So, I mean, you got to take your lumps. You're going to take some lumps. But, again, a lot of these young dudes had some experience last season. They won some games. So it's not like they just went 0-82. They did win some games and beat some teams. So they know they can play in this league. So hopefully that confidence carries over. Brett Brown has done a pretty solid job of getting these guys to play hard. You know, they added a little bit more talent this offseason. It wasn't immense talent, but it was talent nonetheless. You know, you just continue to add that talent onto the team, and you know, good things can happen with them in the, you know, 2-3 years down the line. I think people will really start seeing, you know, Philly starting to come together.
Yeah. I think they've added some talent. They have some solid players, you know, so it's all about just development and seeing what you got. I hope for Philly, man. I hope they do show improvement and show that this is the team that they can get behind. Because I know they don't want to be like another year of just like, oh, let's see what pick we going to get in the draft. So, yeah, I'm hoping. And last, we are at the bottom. The New York.
I mean, I can't even. New York is at the bottom.
New York Knickerbockers. Jesus. 17 wins. 17-65, only 10 wins in the garden. It was rough. I mean,
now we expected Philly to win 25 games, and that's an improvement. What are we looking at for the Knicks?
I don't know, because I'm about to hit soundbite. I have to soundbite with these dudes, because you know they ended the last season.
What the fuck are we doing out here? I ask you, what in the fuck are we doing here?
I mean, Fools is just upset. You know, then they go into the draft. And like, who they going to draft?
Porzingis.
Man, this is some bullshit.
Just mad. But, I mean, look, I mean, this was Phil Jackson's first official offseason.
Oh, and it was a bad one.
Yeah, I mean, he ain't hit gold. You know, we can say that. But, you know, got Kristaps Porzingis, who was projected to be solid. You know, he want to compare to Sean Bradley. I'm not. I ain't doing that. Now, he ain't Dirk neither. But the dude has some solid game.
Yeah,
I'm not crapping on him. You added Jerry and Grant, who looks pretty good as well. That was a nice move to get him. You know, you added Robin Lopez, Aaron Aflalo, Derek Williams.
Kyle O'Quinn.
Yep. Kevin Serafin, Vucevic. I mean, the team should be better than where they were. Sasa
Vujicic, son of a bitch.
Yeah, and then we had, you know, Carmelo Anthony talking playoffs. And then the last episode, you were
talking championship.
That means you need to shut the fuck up. That's what I do. I would fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, slow down with that. But, I will say this team should blow 17 wins out the damn water. They should.
You would assume.
Yes. I mean, Calderon has struggled, but he's a solid guy. I've liked Aaron Aflalo. I feel bad that Aaron Aflalo is not on a contending team. Aaron Aflalo's solid. You know, Melo gets a lot of crap. And, you know, some of it deservedly so. Some of it deservedly so. But for me, I respect the fact that he wanted to go to New York. And he's like, this is where I want to be. And he wants to help lead this team. Now, you know, we can call him crazy, should have went to Chicago, blah, blah, blah. But I respect the fact that he wants to win in New York and is committed to doing it. And yep. The dude is a superstar. You want to be like, well, he ain't that. This dude can flat out play.
Yep.
And I almost feel like, a la Paul George, he needs to play a little more four. But the last time they went to the playoffs is when he was playing four. I think he needs to play a little more four. That's just me. I think Porzingis, maybe he's gonna be a little bit of work, but I can see toward the end of the season him really, you know, starting to come on a little bit. You know, Robin Lopez is a solid player. You know, Kevin Serafin's solid too. You know, Clay Anthony early, maybe, you know, in his second season to show you a little something. But the Knicks should be a lot better. I would say, you know, best case scenario, they double their wins. To me, I don't. If you know, if they make the playoffs, god damn. But if they, you know, if they can double their wins, that's what's up. At least they show that they on the move and gives a little confidence for, you know, for Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher. And he's had a rough offseason recently and all that. You know, he was a laughing joke and all that. But it's time. Like, if he's going to really prove that he deserves to be a head coach, this is a year. I need to see improvement from everybody, including him. That's what I'm hoping to see. Shout out to y'all Knicks fans. It shouldn't be bad as last year. You know, hopefully, knock on wood, Carmelo Anthony stays healthy, but they should hopefully double their wins.
They should be better than last season, but part of that is going to go to Derek Fisher growing a pair and straight up being like, you know, Phil, straight up, this triangle shit ain't working. Let me try my own thing. I mean, seriously, I like Derek Fisher as a person, but he's got to step up to Phil and let him know, like, look, if you're going to be a coach, part of being a coach is creating your own identity. And right now, he's Phil Jackson's puppet. That is how he is looked at. That is how people, you know, perceive him to be. So he's going to have to bring some of his own flair, his own technique, his own offense, you know, some of his own things into the team. And I think that'll go a long way to helping them do better. I do think they're just going to be better overall, just off a talent standpoint alone. I mean, you do add Robin Lopez, who is a good solid starting center. You know, Derek Williams. He's basically a bust at this point, but he's shown flashes still at times. He's done a really good job this preseason. The Knicks are undefeated in the preseason. They've done a good job so far. So, you know, again, their confidence is up a little bit. So remains to be seen what can happen on that aspect. But, I mean, you know, Aaron Aflalo has been nicked up. He's hurt now. You know, it remains to be seen. Jose Calderon's been a little banged up. Carmelo Anthony's coming off the knee problem, so curious to see what's happening with that. They lack a bench, seriously. So there's a lot of questions that go along with the Knicks, but I expect them to do much better. I expect them to at least crack 20 wins this season, at the very minimum.
Yes.
I mean, personally for them, I would say similar to the 76ers, 25, getting close to 30 wins, you know, would show some improvement. And because, I mean, for Phil Jackson, really the biggest, the big coup is going to be free agency, because he traded fucking J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert for a cap space. So the whole purpose of trading them for this cap space is to make a big splash. He made some little splashes in the offseason. He is going to have to make a major splash next summer to get something going with the Knicks, because otherwise people are going to start calling for Phil to go, which I've been doing.
Yeah, I can see that. He better. I know he signed a five-year deal. If he's not, you know, Sexton, he's got to improve. Otherwise, it's going to be bad for him. All right, so we've gotten through all the teams. Now, as of last season, you had Atlanta, Cleveland, Chicago, Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee, Boston, and Brooklyn. How do you see the playoffs seeds changing?
I think at the top it'll pretty much stay the same. Yes, I'm biased. I'm picking the Bulls to finish first. I think Cleveland will be second behind Chicago. I think Atlanta will be third. Fourth.
Yeah, man, divisions don't matter no more.
Right. Fourth. You know, I still think Toronto. Actually, you know what? Fourth is, I'm going to go with Washington. I think Milwaukee will end up fifth. I think they're going to show some improvement and end up fifth. I think Toronto will end up sixth. They're going to drop a little bit. They're going to fall. I think Indiana will probably end up seventh. And for the eighth seed, I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Charlotte. I'm going to go with the Hornets. I think they added some nice things, and you know, I think they're ready to take that next step again. They had that playoff a few years back, and I think they're ready to get back to that.
Okay. Mine is somewhat the same. Cleveland's depth, I think, is going to help them get the number one seed in the league. I think Bulls will be a close second. Most of it's the same. I expect Boston and Brooklyn to fall out. I expect Indiana, and I honestly expect Miami to get in into the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Miami. You know what? Scratch that. I'm going to swap Miami and Toronto. Toronto ain't making the playoffs.
Whoa. Interesting. Okay. You really believe in Charlotte?
I do.
Okay. See, I do think that. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Wow.
My bold prediction of the season. Okay. Toronto ain't making the playoff.
Who you think is ending up last?
Last. I think Philly will be last.
Okay. I would agree. I'd agree with that. With the way the talent is, I think, you know, Philly just isn't, not they fault, it's just, you know, better teams up top.
Yep.
Who do you think out of the Eastern Conference do you see making a nice, as a player, not necessarily winning most improved, but somebody who takes a nice, and not a Jimmy Butler leap, but just making a nice improvement this season?
I'm looking at Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee. I think he showed a lot of flashes in the playoffs. He showed his length. He showed, you know, his toughness. He showed a lot of things that he could really do. And like you said, this is a kid who's still only 20 years old. So he still has room to grow. I mean, I think he came into the league. He was 6'9". He's now 6'11". So he's still growing. He's long as all get out. He can basically play all five positions if he wants to. I think this is a guy who's really going to take the league by storm. He really gained a following in the playoffs. I think, you know, it started with the slam dunk contest. You know, some of the, you know, you saw the potential of this kid. You were just like, damn. Like the first thing you say when you see him, you're like, just damn, he is long.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the athleticism and everything to go along with it. I mean, if this kid gets a consistent 3-point shot, the sky is the limit, honestly. He'll be unguardable at that point.
Yeah. For me, I almost agree. I do think, you know, Andre Drummond as well will make a nice leap as well, given that he's going to have a time. Two other guys who I think I know he's on a bad team. I think Norris Noel is going to make a nice leap from his second full season. Is going to show us a little something that he's more than just a rebounder, shot blocker. You know, I don't expect him to put up like major, but I think he's going to show us a little offensive game as well. And I hope for this guy too. I want to see more. I think he's going to make more as Tobias Harris. The dude has shown he has major game. You know, had a little name for himself last year. I think this is a year that he steps his game up and takes it to another level.
Absolutely. And then one guy I'm also looking at is Nicholas Batum. I think he's ready to explode. I think potentially you could see him be the number two guy on Charlotte. With his skill set, with his size, with his shooting ability, his passing ability and everything, I think he can really take over a role and become a guy who could perhaps kick Al Jefferson to that number three spot.
There you go. All right, y'all. Well, that is our Eastern Conference preview for the 2015-2016 season. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, hit us up. You know, y'all can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, the website, blackandsonline.com. You want to chop it up, let us know your thoughts on our preview. Agree, disagree, you know, rep for your team, who you think is going to be the, you know, improved player coming out. You know, who you think is going to make the playoffs this year that wasn't made it before, or who will fall out. hit us up, man. Let us know what you think via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com, via Twitter, and Brothers Layman, or on the voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to thank y'all for taking the time to check us out. You know, if you got any ideas about your squad, if you got any disagreements, if you got any agreements with the squad, you know, hit us up. Let us know. If you got any fantasy questions, we know the leagues are popping up. I think we got a draft tomorrow. Any questions, fantasy-wise, let us know. Hit us up. I will save all my tell your dogs and everything for the other episode that we do. So just want to say thank y'all for listening. Definitely appreciate it. And go ahead and rep your squad. I'm out.
Take it easy, y'all.
Peace.
Yo, it's such a shame all these dick riders trying to corrupt the game. But what it bring? Nothing but pain and one in your fucking brain. And nothing changed since the album. I'm still wildin', I'm still violent. I've been waiting for this moment like Phil Collins. For all my life, I've been trying for this rife. Hyper than hype, inviting the finest lights. Tonight is the night, and I ain't even trying to let a nigga slide. I've been dying to get a guy to dare to try, and I'm prepared to die. I rush your crib like a Jehovah's Witness. Load up and expose your infant, hold up. Did you notice my heroic entrance? I'm so relentless in this field of rap. Everything is real. In fact, fully back, my bullies will be peeling caps. I'm sat the rapper like a linebacker, play my rhyme backwards. You can hear the devil speak his mind with fine graphics. Things get drastic, I thrust for my plastic. I pack lips between my nuts and my fat dick.
Yeah, but oh, cause you never heard of word of murder like this. Cast come before soul, so watch your shit. Every cat wanna be enormous. Plotting on the next one.
Make you feel it like the color purple. My niggas coming through and still hurt you. Why your Kleenex cats who stay full of germs? We hit Fifth Ave, but y'all still hit Sterns. Don't really care about y'all, really care about y'all. You're on our side, we do our thing. Play the cut, let the phone ring. Pete Rock Connect team, from MV to LC. My thug straight thugging it. Sassy niggas out of the booth, unplugging it. Strange fruit, my niggas live to shoot. There is a strange thing, a nigga never had a suit. Yo, so what's what happened? Remember done known for clapping. Cap stacking, move out the hood and send the hat. Got big headed, misled it, head dreaded. Yo, the beef deaded. His whole squad afraid to set it. Yo, I heard, son. Son is rocking iceberg, done. Got him out the hood, wouldn't believe that. This cat would have mad swollen. Flamboyant, this man golden. Yo, the senator, crime sinister, John Dillinger. Better respect my words, like I'm the minister.
Let's separate the men from the boys.
Verbal attack.
Big pun.
Yo, we just begun the story. Kind pun and Nori. Look to the sun for glory as time runs before me. I'm after the day of judgment. I stood before the jury, explaining why I was in a gun orgy. He was fucking with me. I ain't no ducking MC. With the knowledge, it's a little thug blood in me. And stud bump into me. Beef, it was finna be. My appetite for destruction is finicky. He was an industry type, influenced by magazines and snipes. Rocked Adidas, but he had no stripes. I could tell in high school that he had no fights. Hold dick better than he hold mics. He spiked his punchlines for current events. Called for backup like one time when he heard it was sense. That delivered words with intent to kill. Whether the hip-hop type, country rapper, or Big Will. I peeled some raps back, then peeled his cap back. Fucker thought I was abstract, now his life is backtrack. In the center of the party, his crew identified the body. Left him signing the wait list saying, I can't take this fake shit.